today on Annenberg Radio News.
The schools have to be a place where parents and students can talk about this type of abuse or warning signs of domestic violence and sexual violence and can seek help and protection.
A two-day conference in Los Angeles educates teens on domestic and sexual violence in light of LAUSD's recent scandals. Good afternoon from the University of Southern California, and welcome to Annenberg Radio News for Thursday, February 16th, 2012. I'm Benjamin Gottlieb, and as always, thanks for joining us today. This morning, President Barack Obama held a fundraiser breakfast in Corona Del Mar as part of his ongoing political campaign for re-election this November. This morning's event follows his visit in Los Angeles last night, where he spoke to roughly 1,000 people at two different fundraising events at the Holmby Hills estate of producer Bradley Bell. The fundraisers are expected to raise more than $3 million. Although he was catering to Hollywood's elite last night, the vast majority of the president's re-election donations are under $200. The South Los Angeles mother accused of drowning her one-year-old daughter and trying to drown the girl's five-year-old sister is being held today on a $1.5 million bail. Lorna Valle was first booked on murder charges at the 77th Street Division Jail, but Guatemala's Consul General, Pablo Sainz, says she has been moved to a local hospital and is under psychiatric evaluation.
Yesterday when I spoke with her, I was able to confirm that she is going through a very complicated emotional situation, and that's what authorities are trying to determine by submitting her to a series of exams.
Valle's five-year-old daughter is in serious condition at Children's Hospital in Los Angeles. Reporter John Wu visited the South LA street where the family lives, where he heard utter disbelief from neighbors.
The 900 block of West 50th Street is a quiet residential part of South L.A. It's a mixed black and Latino neighborhood that, on any other day of the week, would look just like any other. But today, the day after the death of a toddler and the attempted drowning of her sister, the neighbors are restless.
I'm very devastated about it when it comes to our children, because I have children and my grandchildren, and last night, I just didn't sleep at all, just thinking about this tragedy.
That's Judy McCann. She's been a foster parent before and says she's taking this hard because there were children involved. McCann was at home when the police arrived yesterday morning.
The oldest one was like purple. You know, her eyes was like sitting back in her head. I was just praying that you know, it was hope that they could save both of them. But the dad was just beating his head on side the fence and just howling, "Why did you kill my kids? Why you didn't kill yourself?"
McCann's son, Thomas Burton, knew the oldest daughter. He's also in disbelief that something like this could happen to a little girl that always waved at him as she passed by.
I can't say a bad little girl, because I seen the neighbors in the front watch her, and when they used to have her with her, they never complained. They never, like, you know, was mad at her. She was going to the store, buy her little popcorn, hot Cheetos, and they'll walk back over here. She have her little boots on. I see them all the time, every day. I see them every day.
Whatever drove Lorna Valle over the edge, Burton says, probably wasn't her kids themselves.
She took care of her kids. She did. Every time I seen her, she had her kids. Her kids never were neglected. Her hair was always done. She always had on new clothes. Her baby had nice stuff. They weren't neglected. So it was something else that triggered it. And I don't know what that is. I wish she could have talked to God about it and let her kids go.
For now, teddy bears, flowers, and handwritten signs adorn the front of the toddler's home, a painful reminder of a life gone too soon. Josh Wu, Annenberg Radio News.
At least three people were shot early this afternoon in an East Hollywood residence that erupted in flames. Authorities report that the house caught fire after the three victims were pulled out. Their conditions are not yet known. A search is underway for the gunman. Riding the coattails of President Obama's L.A. visit, Republican presidential hopeful Newt Gingrich addressed Asian American voters at a leadership forum in Koreatown this morning. Gingrich spoke on a variety of topics, ranging from foreign policy to the economy. Reporters wondered why Gingrich was focusing on the Asian American community more than other candidates. He offered this response.
And then you say, well, what about values? Well, my experience is Asian Americans are very hardworking. They actually work for take-home pay, and they actually like the idea of lower taxes. They like the idea that they work for themselves, not for the government. They like the idea that their community doesn't get dictated to by Washington bureaucrats. Many of them are very religious.
Tomorrow, Gingrich heads home to his state of Florida for more fundraising. HealthNet of California is the largest provider of state-sponsored health plans in the state. In East Los Angeles today, HealthNet marked the reopening of its Community Solutions Center, which provides a range of services in both English and Spanish. Heather Ritchie reports.
We are celebrating today our new location and our millionth member.
Politicians and community leaders cut the ribbon to loud cheers of about 75 people this morning at HealthNet's new Community Solutions Center.
I'm looking around, this is truly the heart of the community.
Former Dodgers pitcher Bobby Castillo was there to sign autographs, and fitness instructor Andy Padilla even gave a free workout after the speeches. Tony DeMarco is the president of Whittier Boulevard Merchants Association.
And we are very, very happy that HealthNet chose Whittier Boulevard and East Los Angeles to come and set up store here.
During the event, locals from the community were invited to attend and participate in free health screenings, food samples, fitness demonstrations, and raffles. Two members of HealthNet were Carolina and Laura Les Asensio, a mother and her daughter who have been attending classes and screenings for over a year. Laura Les was hesitant to join at first.
So I came here and I took the test with Andy and I've been hooked ever since.
This is HealthNet's only location so far, but they say they hope to expand their efforts to help East Los Angeles. Eventually, they want to have more locations all over Southern California. Heather Ritchie, Annenberg Radio News.
And now for the weather. We're looking at a chilly night with lows in the mid-40s across the Southland. Tomorrow will be cloudy with a high of 70 and lows again in the mid-40s. And on Saturday, we're looking at an even chillier afternoon with highs in the low to mid-60s with a nighttime low of 46. Later on Annenberg Radio News, we revisit the story of the South LA mother accused of trying to drown her daughters, and how a lack of access to mental health services by undocumented workers could have contributed to the tragedy. Medical marijuana activists today protested what they say is the Obama administration's attack on medical pot. The rallies took place in six states and nine cities, including Obama's fundraisers this morning in Corona Del Mar and San Francisco. Activists say these protests attempt to highlight the president's failure in keeping his promise not to circumvent state medical marijuana laws. This weekend's Violence-Free Teens Conference wants Los Angeles youth and adults to fight relationship violence together. And conference organizers are making the curriculum public. It could enter LAUSD schools as early as this fall. Rosalie Murphy stopped by today.
A lot has happened since last year's Violence-Free Teen Conference. In October, the LAUSD board passed a unanimous resolution instituting violence prevention education, something Peace Over Violence, the organization hosting the conference, has worked on for years. But Emily Austin, who wrote most of the resolution, said the victory felt a little tainted, because just 10 days prior, a Southeast high school senior was fatally stabbed by her ex-boyfriend at school.
The schools have to be a place where parents and students can talk about this type of abuse or warning signs of domestic violence and sexual violence and can seek help and protection. We can't let more victims of teen dating violence die on campus. We can't let them have incidences on campus where we could step in and prevent it.
Austin is Peace Over Violence's policy director. The organization already runs sexual violence prevention programs in several public schools, but the new resolution provides $2 million for LAUSD to hire a violence prevention coordinator and a liaison for every school in the district. They'll help students recognize dating violence and prevent it. Lily Herrera, director of prevention services at Peace Over Violence, thinks these classes need to start early.
One of my first clients, she was 11 years old. It was a little bit tough for me to wrap my head around an 11-year-old being in an abusive relationship, and I quickly realized that this was as real as it gets.
It's about more than dating, Herrera said. She hopes to plant seeds in middle schoolers so they'll be able to do what high school students in Silver Lake did.
At Marshall High School a couple of years ago, There was a lot of racial tension between the Armenians and Latino students. And the peer, the stop team.
That's the Students Together Organizing Peace Team. It's one of five in LAUSD high schools.
They went in and intervened, and they actually held Day of Dialogue type of forum for them, where they actually sat down and they talked about the differences and the similarities. And there were so much more similarities and differences.
James Campos was a member of that team. He started fighting violence at Marshall as a ninth grade extra credit assignment. Now he works full-time for Peace Over Violence. He teaches groups of young men in high school.
We also don't talk about just violence, but just character and leadership building, so that not only like they can learn about how to treat a girl and try to treat women, but also treat themselves better.
And the new LAUSD plan won't only educate students. It includes mandatory training for teachers and parents, too. And that's what today's conference is about, said Austin.
In any case where people have been both open-minded to sit and talk to each other, they'll bridge those. And that's that trusted adult relationship you need in order to say, I'm going to tell you something that makes me vulnerable, that I'm scared about, I'm going to share it with you, can you help me, or can you help me help myself?
Today, the conference was focused on adults, but tomorrow the students arrive, and those conversations begin. Rosalie Murphy, Annenberg Radio News.
The weeping widow of a woman murdered 26 years ago testified in court yesterday about a love triangle that prosecutors believe led his lover, a former LAPD officer, to kill his wife. Stephanie Lazarus, the accused ex-officer, was arrested in 2009 when LAPD cold case detectives linked her to the 1986 beating and shooting death of Sherry Rasmussen. Lazarus has pleaded not guilty to the murder charges. She remains in custody with a bail of $10 million. We now return to the story of Lorena Valle, the Guatemalan woman accused of drowning one of her daughters and attempting to drown the other. Neighbors and a cousin say she tried to get psychological help, but didn't get it. As Melissa Reynolds reports, Valle's psychological state will be central in this case.
We are celebrating today our new location and our millionth member.
Politicians and community leaders cut the ribbon to laugh.
We are.
Lorena Valle is reportedly under psychiatric evaluation today as authorities try to determine what may have led to the drowning and attempted drowning of her two children. Guatemalan Vice Consul Ricardo Giron visited Valle last night after she was arrested. He says she appeared sleepy.
We tried to prove that she was in the influence of a lot of medicine.
The consulate will pay for Valle's legal representation for her husband, and for transporting the body of Valle's daughter to Guatemala for burial. It remains unclear whether Lorena Valle sought mental health help and was refused it, or whether she hesitated to get the help she needed. Because if you're undocumented in California, you have few options. You can go to emergency rooms or to local clinics, but medical facilities are not required to serve undocumented immigrants.
It is inhumane, but it is legal.
That was Jorge Mario Cabrera of the Coalition for Humane Immigrant Rights of Los Angeles, known as CHIRLA. Most undocumented immigrants seek health care from local clinics, many of which do not offer mental health services on site. Even if the clinics do have mental health services, the wait time can be lengthy. St. John's Well Child and Family Center provides mental health care to the undocumented at many of its clinics. But just getting a physical, said one of their intake counselors, could take months. And then you have to get a referral to one of their few mental health providers. Then there's a shame factor. Again, Jorge Mario Cabrera.
Studies have shown that recent immigrants are less likely to go to a medical facility and receive services precisely because they do not want to be a burden to the society or the new country that has welcomed them. No hospital is supposed to deny those services to an undocumented immigrant or to someone based just simply on their immigration status. But we do hear often of stories of clients being harassed, members of the community being harassed by personnel at these medical facilities for not having documents.
For Annenberg Radio News, I'm Melissa Runnels.
Sorry for the technical difficulties, guys. Chinese Vice President Xi Jinping began a short trip to Los Angeles today, the first visit to L.A. by a high-level Chinese official in 13 years. Xi is expected to be China's next president. He visited the port of Los Angeles this afternoon, which is undergoing a $121 million expansion to its terminal. He will cap off his stay at the Staples Center tomorrow night for the Lakers-Suns game with Mayor Antonio Villagrosa. I spoke with Peter Winter of U.S. China Today magazine about the difference between Xi and China's current leader, Hu Jintao.
I would say Xi and Hu have very similar political backgrounds, you know, worked their way up through the Communist Party system. Both have some experience abroad, come from high-ranking Chinese universities. But what Xi seems to be offering, and it's especially noticeable in this visit, is he relates to people much better. President Hu comes across as very stern, very reserved, very to himself. And everybody notes Vice President Xi's, you know, friendly attitude, his big smile, which sound very simplistic, but when you're talking about the American public perception of somebody, of a leader of a country that people are oftentimes very nervous about, it goes a long way.
And is that going to translate over to U.S.-Chinese relations?
I think so, absolutely. The U.S.-China relationship is certainly complex, and that's not going to change anytime soon. The more interaction that we have, the more interest that we cooperate, will lead to more and more challenges.
Peter, we have Xi Jinping in our city today in Los Angeles. He's going to be making a visit to the Los Angeles port. Is that just a PR stunt, or is there a broader significance to his visit here?
Well, with the port, I mean, I don't think it's just a PR stunt. There's no doubt about it that the port handles probably the largest percentage of Chinese goods coming into this country. I think beyond that, Xi Jinping will be potentially visiting DreamWorks today or tomorrow to take part in an announcement of them, of DreamWorks Animation, opening a big studio in Shanghai. And I think Xi's visit is particularly significant to Hollywood, who are very put off of issues of piracy, but also trying to enter into the Chinese domestic market. Right now, there's a quota for foreign films that can be shown in Chinese movie theaters. It's around 20 a year, and so, you know, really limits Hollywood's access to the country, trying desperately to change that. And one route that they're going is trying to open studios in China in partnership with Chinese filmmakers and companies to create content together and distribute together.
That was Peter Winter of U.S. China Today. The Pew Research Center finds that 1 out of 5 recent weddings in the Western United States were between people of different races or ethnicities. 23% of California's unions are interracial, ranking it 6th in the country. The nationwide average is 8.3%. Researchers say the state's increasing immigrant population, as well as a growing public acceptance, are part of the increase. Now we check in with Jennifer Kendall to see what's coming up on Annenberg TV News at 6 p.m. on Trojan Vision.
Hi, Ben. Coming up tonight, we're going to have a couple of stories. There's right now a house fire in Hollywood, and they have actually found a fourth victim there, so we're going to be focusing on that. We're going to take a look at the role that women play in the Olympics. And also, the largest donation to UCLA by Dr. Fielding of LA Public Health is going to be coming up on ATVN tonight.
Okay, well, Jennifer, thank you so much. We're looking forward to your coverage. That's it for this Thursday. We had help today from Annenberg TV News, Madeline Lindsay. Esther Kang is our producer. Emily Frost is our executive producer. And from all of us here at Annenberg Radio News, I'm Benjamin Gottlieb. Thank you so much for joining us today.